Next Sunday will be the Sunday of Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, 10 days after his ascension into heaven. God poured out his Holy Spirit on the church for his kingdom purposes in the world, his liberation mission in the world. And so, in keeping with that theme, we're going to start this Sunday with John chapter 3. John 3, verses 1 to 16, page 1649. Page 1649, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time in his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So far the reading of God's word. Brothers, a little poem I know I've quoted before, but it's a great little poem. "Who has seen the wind? Neither I nor you, but when the leaves hang trembling, the wind is passing through. Who has seen the wind? Neither you nor I, but when the trees bow down their heads, the wind is passing by." Kids, you can't see the wind, right? You can't actually see the wind. Now, somebody might get a little smart and say, "Yeah, you can see a tornado, all right. Or you can see a hurricane on TV." Well, you can go and talk about that at home over lunch. Are you actually seeing the wind when you see that? Even if you say you do. Typically, we don't see the wind, do we? How do we know the wind is there when it's blowing? Well, we hear it, right? But also, we see its effect on everything it touches. See the trees bending and swaying. Sometimes in a serious wind, we even see them crack and fall over. The wind always brings me back to my one and only experience of a Chinook. In the western Canadian prairies, almost in sight of the Rockies. In the dead of winter, middle of January. They're out in the deep freeze, and I don't know if you've been in the middle of the prairie, in the middle of the winter, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a pretty bleak and barren looking place. You look up, gray sky. You look down, snow. Sky, snow. And then there's the one surveillance bush that the police officer hides behind because it's the only place to hide. Right, Trevor? Okay, so here we are out in the middle of the country in Alberta, and here comes the Chinook, a dry, warm wind that drops in over the Rocky Mountains and transforms the landscape in a dramatic way. The snow doesn't so much melt as it just evaporates. And you can almost watch the snow just disappear, leaving a landscape clear of snow. Now, at this point, I start to get into my imagination and thought, now, what if the wind, that Chinook, had the power to take the next step in the middle of January, and not only did all the snow go away, but all of a sudden the grass starts turning green, and the grains start popping up out of the ground, and green vegetables, and the fruit trees start to bud and to blossom. What if all of a sudden the whole landscape was transformed into something green and lush? Growing. Well, that would be amazing. But that would be a picture of what the Holy Spirit does in the life of a person. That is what a powerful picture of what it means to be born again. Or the word again here can also be translated from above. To be born from above. That is a powerful picture of how the Holy Spirit can take the spiritually dead and barren landscape of our hearts and transform it into something living and vibrant and growing and fruitful. That's the power of the Holy Spirit, the wind of God. It's a beautiful thing that in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word for wind and spirit is exactly the same word. The Holy Spirit is the wind of God. And Jesus here says something profound to one of Israel's leading teachers. If there was anybody in Israel who thought that his religious credentials would get him into heaven, it was this guy. He had lived his whole life in the church. He had lived his whole life studying the scriptures and teaching the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament law inside and out. And he knew the whole system of 613 laws, 613 application of the commandments to help the people of Israel live faithfully before God. He lived it. He taught it. He had his checklists. He was doing it right. This man had his religious system in place. And he and his compadres were sure that God was going to use their faithfulness to bring in the kingdom of God, to bring Messiah into the world, to bring God's liberating rule from Jerusalem over the entire world again. He was sure of it. And this man shows up. Some people say he came at night because he was afraid. I don't think so. John often uses the word night. He talks about someone coming at night, but it has kind of an overtone of somebody they don't get it. They're stuck in darkness. Rabbis would often come and have debates with people at night. And in fact, we get the picture when Nicodemus says we, that he was probably sent by some of his Pharisee friends to check this Jesus out. They're open to him at this point. They haven't hardened into resistance yet. They will. They're kind of open to him, but they don't know where he fits. They don't know where to put him. So they're going to check out his credentials and see if he's legitimate or not. So Nicodemus probes. And Jesus, as he often does, he says something that seems totally unrelated to the question, but it is related. Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, phew, I am so glad you guys, you high religious leaders, I am so glad you approve of me because I was starting to get worried that you might not." No, 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 no. He says, "Your approval of me, your judgment of whether I'm on God's team or not doesn't make a difference to me. I came from God and I know it. What matters here is my approval of you. Are you guys on God's team? Yes, I know you have impeccable religious credentials. But have you been born again? Because the only way into the kingdom of God, the only way to participate in and enjoy God's righteous rule over your life, the only way to enjoy and participate in God's kingdom rule over the entire world forever and ever and ever, is if you are born again. Is if you go through that spiritual transformation from being dead and spiritually barren in relationship with God, without relationship with God, into a vibrant, dynamic life in relationship with God. You must be born again. The truth comes down through every age, and it comes to every person. Whether someone of long-standing and established religious credentials or someone who has never even heard of Jesus, it's the same message. You must be born again. You must be born from above. Just as you must be physically born into this world in order to grow and live in relationships with others, so you must be born from above to live and grow in relationship with God and in spiritual relationships with others. It's just the way it is. You must be born from above, says Jesus. And that just doesn't fit in Nicodemus's grid. He's like, I don't get it. Somehow it just doesn't fit. Nicodemus says, let me lay it out for you. In verse 5, he gets a little more clear. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. And then verse 8, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So how does this happen? He says you must be born again. How do we become born again? Think about it. When you were physically born into this world, it had nothing to do with your choice. It was not something that you said in pre-existence, I think I want to be born now, so I'm going to make sure it happens, or at least I'm going to place the right phone calls to make sure it happens. No. It happened. And you were alive in this world, in the family you were born into, because you were born from your parents. Right? So it is spiritually. We don't make ourselves born again. God does it. And he now comes and says, it is the Holy Spirit, it is the wind of the Holy Spirit that blows into our lives and takes our spiritually dead and barren hearts and transforms them, brings them to life, into life in spiritual relationship with God and with others. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Every human being that walks the face of the earth has been born from below, so to speak, the physical, the natural way. And we have been born into a sin-cursed world. We have been born with a sinful nature. And by ourselves, we will never desire or even be able to live in a right relationship with God in his kingdom. We must be born again. And that's why God graciously sends his Holy Spirit, the wind, into our lives. What does the Holy Spirit awaken in our lives when he makes us born again? How does he make good and green things grow in us? What does he awaken in us? Well, the Bible makes clear, as we go elsewhere in the Bible, the first thing the Holy Spirit awakens in us is a sense of our need for Jesus. A sense of our need for forgiveness and grace. A sense of our own brokenness and sinfulness and guilt that shows us a need for our Savior. A deep sense that I cannot save myself. I cannot save myself by living a life, a checklist life of obedience. I cannot, because in my heart I am broken and I am sinful. I cannot overcome my own sinful inclinations and desires. I need Jesus. I need his forgiveness. I need his grace. I need his finished work on the cross for me. That sense of sin and need, the Holy Spirit awakens us in our lives. We're not self-satisfied. At the same time, he awakens in us. He awakens in us a picture of the beauty of Jesus, a desire for Jesus as desirable. Hey, this Jesus is the answer to my need, but this is also the Jesus I want to know. This is a Jesus I want to live in relationship with. I want to spend time with Jesus in his house, in his home, around his table. I want to know this Jesus forever and ever and ever. Awakens a desire for him. He awakens in us a deep trust. This is the one I can trust. If he was willing to perish on the cross for me, as I look at his character and his faithfulness and his goodness and his power and his wisdom, I can anchor my trust. I can put all my eggs in the basket of this Jesus. I can trust him completely. He awakens in us trust. Something else awakens in us. A love in response to his life-giving love for us. Oh, I want to live for you. I love you, and I want my love to grow. I want to love you, and I want to love others too. His love for me begins to spill over in my love for others. Love awakens, and other good fruit, other good things in my life begin to grow. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, right? The fruit of the Spirit. It's like that wind, that Chinook that comes through the heart, that comes through the barren and dead landscape, brings it to life. At least in my imagined version of it. And causes it to grow. You must be born again. Have you been born again? Why? I can't point to a date on the calendar. Well, that's okay. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it does. I have an aunt, actually, that doesn't know her birthday. She doesn't know when she was born. But she knows she's alive. She must have been born, right? Are you born again? Well, are you alive? Are there signs? Are there evidences that the wind of the Spirit has blown through? No, not just that he's blown through, but that he's camped out. He's taken up residence. Step away just for a moment from... Make sure we're not just putting our trust in our religious pedigree, and how long we have anchored down a snail down a spot in a pew, to ask the question, have I been awakened to my sin? Do I know what it means to be broken for my sin and to hate my sin because of the barrier it erects in my relationship with God? Do I feel deeply my need for Jesus, for his forgiveness, his grace, his cross, his power to overcome sin? Has there been awakened in me a basic childlike trust? Oh, it's not a perfect trust. Oh, I doubt. Oh, I waver. Oh, I struggle. But deep down, there is a trust. Jesus, not me. Jesus. He's real. And he's good. And I can trust him to walk with me through this life. I can trust him to walk with me through this terrible thing I'm going through. I can trust that he's got a good plan somehow in and through all of this. Jesus may waver, but is it there, even if it's a flickering flame on a candle about to sputter out? And is there awakened in you an awe and a love? Wow. This is somebody I don't want to just know in my head. This is somebody I want to be with. I want to spend time with. This is someone I want to get to know more. You begin to see good things growing in your life, changes. Oh, not perfectly. Yeah, we still struggle. And the process of growth is it's messy. But do you see in your life something slowly over time, change is beginning to take root? Humility, love. Being focused on others and not just yourself. Are you born again? Is the wind of the Spirit blowing through your life? Has he taken up residence there? The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. The wind blows where it pleases. It reminds me of Psalm 115. Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. You think you can manipulate the wind of the Spirit? Don't bother. You might as well try to control a tornado with a remote control. Wouldn't that be something? Make it steer around a city. Right? You imagine having that kind of power? I don't think any of us would do well with that kind of power. Remote control tornadoes? No, that's not how it works. So it is with the Spirit. You're not going to nail him down. Here's the great thing. If it's the Spirit's job, if it's the Spirit's job to awaken conviction of sin, to awaken trust, love for Jesus and love for others, it changes the way we approach people, doesn't it? People who are spiritually barren, people who just, there's no evidence of any sort of life in relationship with God. Right, then the emphasis doesn't become, well, I've got to get through to that person. I've got to say it just the right way. I've got to keep at that person. I've got to either try to manipulate them in the kingdom or badger them into the kingdom or nag them into the kingdom or I got to... No. Because it's not the person who makes themselves born again. We go to the one who does it. That's where prayer comes in. Oh, God, you are the one who brings life to the dead heart, just as you brought into existence a world filled with life from nothing. You bring life to the dead heart, and we plead with the sovereign God to send his Spirit to change the lives of those we love. And trust me, he uses, don't trust me, trust God, he uses those prayers as part of his plan to do the job. It is the wind of the Spirit that brings about the rebirth that we so need. The wind works together with something else. And that's why we are still responsible to be agents, to be used by God to speak the good news and live the good news of Jesus in our relationships with others who don't know God. Because God uses the wind, but also the word, to bring about new life. And Jesus changes his focus. He moves from the wind of rebirth to the word of rebirth. We see Jesus subtly and quietly shifting the emphasis from the Spirit to himself. Finally, he leads Nicodemus through, and now the focus is squarely on Jesus himself. In verse 13, as he stretches Nicodemus' understanding of who he is, no one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus chooses a very strange example from the Old Testament. Once again, the people of God, the Israelites, had grumbled, whined, and rebelled against God. He had provided for them every day and in every way. Now they are rebelling again, and God says, I'm going to use some tough love here. And he sends scorpions or some kind of serpents into the camp, and they start biting people, poisonous snakes, and people are dying all over the place. And God says to Moses, quick, make a bronze snake, put it on a pole, right? The medical symbol. That's where it comes from, I think. Put the snake on a pole, put it up high, and tell the people, this is my promise. Everybody who looks at the snake will live. The snake that is lifted up, look at the snake lifted up, and you will live. And they trusted not in the snake, but in the promise of God. And they look at the snake, and they live. And Jesus says, so it will be as we lift high the cross. I will be lifted up on a cross for all to see, not just on Good Friday, but in the ages to follow through the preaching, the proclamation of the gospel, as the gospel goes out of Jesus lifted up, dying and bleeding in our place. All people need to do is look and believe. And that's the response of one who has been born again. When the wind of the Spirit has blown, we are awakened to Jesus lifted high. And we look and we believe and we find life. Jesus even uses that message, that as that message comes to us from the outside, the Spirit is working on the inside. Changing our doubts into faith. Changing unbelief into belief. Into trust. So at the end of the day, even after all I've said, this is very, very important. You want to have assurance that you belong to Jesus today? You want to have assurance that you are in the kingdom of God? Don't, first of all, look for evidences of the wind in your life. Don't look there, first of all. Look at Jesus. Look at Jesus on a cross. Focus on the promises. Focus on the promise of verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Look at Jesus. Remember and believe that he bled and died there for you, for the forgiveness of all our sins. Hear the promise, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come under my care and control. Live under my roof and my rules. Hear and respond to the promises. Keep going to Jesus for your assurance. That you are forgiven and that you are saved and accepted when you doubt. Because that's where it is to be found. Brothers and sisters, have you been born again? And finally, are you anchoring your assurance and your trust in Jesus Christ? And his finished work for you. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your cross, for your shed blood, for your finished work for us. Thank you also for the wind of your Holy Spirit. Awakens our heart, dead hearts, to need you, to know you, to trust you, to love you, and to be obedient and fruitful in your service. Lord, we pray this morning that if there is anyone in this room who has not been born again, that you would send the wind of your Spirit to blow through their hearts, to bring life. Or some perhaps that we know and love outside of this room, do your amazing work in their lives and also use the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to work the changes that only you can work. In Jesus' name, amen. Following the blessing and the closing song, we're going to have our time of